Good morning, church. How are y'all doing today? And it's good to see each and every one of you. And I know there's quite a few on here that are watching. And if you're able to type in there and say hello, we'd love to kind of touch base with you and just say hello to everyone. I have to realize that I'm about 20 seconds ahead of everyone. So if I'm 20 seconds ahead, sometimes you may not comment until 20 seconds after I ask something. So and I figure that out. Make sure you comment to each other, talk to each other. This is going to be an interactive Bible study on Obadiah. And if you have your Bibles, open up to Obadiah chapter 5. Yeah, there's only one chapter of Obadiah, I know. Just having some fun with you. But anyway, grab your Bibles, open them up. I will have the Bible verses here on the screen. And good morning, Lee. I just saw your post up there. Hey, Jay, Daggy, John, Barbara, Pat, and Patricia. Good to see everyone here. Kayla is up on there. So I appreciate seeing everybody here and saying hi. So if you get your Bibles, open up Obadiah. We're going to be looking at that this morning. Obadiah is a kind of an interesting book because a couple of reasons. One, it's the shortest of the Old Testament books, shortest of the prophets. And so when you talk about a minor prophet, he's pretty minor there. And hope that you enjoyed that. If you've already read it, go ahead and let me know you've read it. If you haven't read it, that's okay. It is a hard book to understand. So it's one of my favorites. That's the second reason why I want to look at it today, because Obadiah actually has my life verse in it. And I'm going to show you, if you've been in my office, you'll see this picture right here. And this picture is a page out of the 1621 Bible. And the Bible's falling apart, so someone gave me a page. And they said, what page do you want? And I said, Obadiah, verses 3 and 4, my life verses. We're going to be looking at that just a bit later. And so that's hanging in my office there. If you next time you're by the office, check it out, come look at it. Obadiah is one of those books that we read sometimes and just kind of let it go because there's so many things in it that is kind of confusing, or not confusing, but hard to understand if you don't look at the history behind it. So hopefully we're going to have a little bit of fun with that today. Obadiah, I'll be looking at that, and I think I can put it on the screen here for you. And if you don't have your Bibles, and there you go, kind of split screen there. And it's kind of small. I know I was trying to make it bigger. I could get rid of myself, but then you wouldn't hear me either. So we're looking at Obadiah here. And Obadiah is a prophet. Obadiah is, this is the only time you really kind of see Obadiah in scripture, because there's other Obadiahs in the Bible in the Old Testament, but there's only one Obadiah. He's the only one of this one. So all the other Obadiahs are different people. So that should help you out a little bit. In fact, it's probably too small for anyone to read. I was looking at it there myself, and I can almost barely read it. And I just glanced over my phone over here, and there's no way I can read on my phone. So if you're on your phone, you're definitely not reading it. If you are able to on your computer, make it bigger and see it, great. Then you'll see me bigger too. So that'll be even better. Tim and Cindy were putting up on their big screen the other day, and so maybe they can read it. Grab your Bibles and look at it, maybe probably a little better there. But if we look at Obadiah, it talks about the vision of Obadiah. He talks about that God has given him a vision. We don't know whether this was necessarily a vision that he saw a prophecy of a dream. We don't know. Maybe God just spoke the words to him. Okay, good. Lee and Cindy both say that they can see it. Nick can read it too. Good. I'm glad. So Obadiah says that he's got a vision from God. We're not sure if it's through a dream or whether it's just the aspect of it being God just spoke to him in that type of vision, because all the prophets were kind of looked at as seers and prophets and things like that. So nobody had this vision here, and concerning Edom. Now, Edom is kind of where we start looking at the history of what Edom is. So when we look at Edom, anybody do some research on looking at Edom and who Edom was and how this connected to it? Pop up on there and write something and let me know what you see. Because Edom's kind of has a neat history in the past, but then also in the future of this writing. And so we're going to be looking at that a little bit as well. But Edom is God speaking to Edom. Edom was a country or a nation that attacked Israel, and actually through Babylon. So Babylon kind of attacked Edom. They began to be one force. Edom said, "Yeah, we'll do whatever you want to do." Yes, descendants of Esau. Very good, Lee. That's exactly right. In fact, I'll put that on there. We can add this little note here. And so descendants of Esau, and Esau, and he had a very famous brother. If you know who the brother is, put that up on there. Because it ties in with the story of Obadiah. I'll give you a kind of update on Lee here. Lee and I pastored in Kansas together, and Lee and I met at a coffee shop. We're next to each other working on our sermons, and he had the same computer that I had and a little tablet with a keyboard, and we both had the same one, and we were kind of comparing notes back and forth. The next thing you know, we're pastors. The next thing you know, we're having coffee, and then we're having coffee every week, and so I just really enjoyed a friendship with Lee. He moved out of Kansas right after I moved out of Kansas, and so good to have Lee on here. So Esau had a famous brother, so Edom is a descendant of Esau. So when you read in Obadiah talking about your brother and how you did things concerning your brother and were hurtful to your brother, this is a kind of tie-in. The brother is also symbolic of the whole nation of Israel. So when we understand that and we see Edom and the history of that, we see that Edom was attacked by Babylon. Babylon and Edom came together, and when Babylon attacked Israel, Edom kind of helped them out and stood by them and encouraged them, so to speak. That was one of the problems with what Edom did. And so that's what we're going to see in our study here. I'm getting really weak Wi-Fi signal here. And so if I'm skipping out on you, I'm going to go open my office door, and I think that may help us with it. So I'm going to pause for a second. You're going to see me leave, and I'll be back. And I'm back. And the Wi-Fi signal is much better, so hopefully that's better for you as well. For some reason, I have a Wi-Fi blocking door. I don't know. So as we're looking at Esau, let's continue on here. Obadiah, I mean, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations saying, "Rise up, let us rise up against it for battle." And then he says, "See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be greatly despised." And so when we see what Obadiah is saying, he's talking to the nation of Edom because of what they've done for the nation of Israel. He's talking about, you will be small among the nations and you'll be greatly despised. Then we continue on. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rock, whose dwelling is high. You say in your heart, "Who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend high like an eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, I will bring you down from there," says the Lord. And so that's actually my life verse there, verse 3 and 4. Because in my life, I have really struggled with pride, and I think a lot of men do, and pride has always been one of my kind of downfalls in my life. And so this verse really hit me once I became a Christian, became a pastor, especially after working in Utah for a while. I thought I could do it all on my own, and then I kind of fall. And so this verse says, "The pride of your heart has deceived you, who says you live in the clefts of the rocks." Sometimes we think we're invincible, like we're up here, we're God people, look at us, you know, we can do anything. And He says, you sing your heart. Who's going to bring me down? Who's going to take me on? Who can handle this? You know? And the next verse says, though you ascend high like an eagle, which is pretty high, and though you set your nest among the stars, pretty high, I will bring you down, saying the Lord. And so that's exactly what it is, that God says, I'll bring you down. So you're gonna think you're up high. You're going to think you're important. You're going to think you're all that. But the reality is God says, I can bring you down. And so that was my life verse there. So as we look at this and understand what's going on with Edom, if anybody ever heard of Petra, if you've ever gone over to Israel and gone visited the Petra city in Jordan, I got to go over to Israel. I was supposed to go to Jordan, have a 2-day little trip afterwards, but I didn't get to go. My friend went, but I didn't get to go. It took extra money, and I didn't have extra money, but wish I had now, looking back on it, because you see Petra. Well, Petra is the idea. Now, Edom didn't live in the city of Petra, but they lived like it. They lived their country is up on the hills. They carved their cities out of the rock. In fact, the descendants of Edom are the ones who carved Petra. So it is kind of ironic that it says that, and no one lives there now, obviously. But they set their city up on this rock, and they were invincible. They were completely, the only way to get to them was to come up the cliff to get to them. And they had a strong fortress, a stronghold. And so they said, wait, no one can take care of us and take us down. No one can get us. And God says, well, I can do it. And he does. So when you think about that, how does that play out in your life? I want you to kind of interact with me a little bit this morning. Please say things, comment, type, anything that you've been reading on this part. If you read it or you're starting to think about it, any of this stuff kind of ring true in your life, post it up on here. Let us know what you're thinking there. Again, you're about 20 seconds behind me. So as you type firsthand, but then but you're looking at it 20 seconds after I've already said it. So it's kind of an awkward thing. So I have to get used to that. But anyway, if you got something on there, go ahead and put it on there and say, you know, talk to each other. Even if I miss it, other people can see it as well. But it's a good story to think about, in the idea that we're not invincible. And I think in this day and age of all that's going on with the social distancing and the coronavirus and all that other stuff, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. Sometimes we think in America as a whole, we're great over here. We're America. We're a financial, military power. There's never a power out here in the world that could stop God when it's his directing. And so I'm not saying the coronavirus has anything to do with God. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It does make us humble enough to realize a little bug that's microscopic can shut down our country. So kind of think about that when we're seeing this. So anyway, Obadiah, it continues on in verse number 5. If thieves came to you, if robbers by night, how you have been destroyed, would they not steal only what they want? If grape gatherers come to you, would they not leave gleaning? This idea of Edom doing these things against the nation of Israel, and God is saying, here, I'm going to destroy you so much that you're going to have nothing left. Even the grape gatherers leave gleanings. They leave a little small bits on the side of the land in order for the poor people to eat. They don't even have that opportunity because God's taking care of everything. He's gonna wipe them completely out. So it continues on there in verse number 6. And how the things of Esau have been ransacked, how his hidden treasures hunted out. All you Confederates have driven you to the border. Your allies have deceived and prevailed against you. Again, Edom was allying with Babylon and during this time. And so when we think about Edom and kind of going together, say, hey, we'll go with you against the nation of Israel. This is your brother. These are your people. And you're going against them with their enemies. And he's saying, don't be too sure. Because then what happened was that Babylon took over Edom and almost wiped them completely out. In fact, the city of Edom was overran by Babylon, and later on with the Media-Persian Empire, and later on with the Romans. So they were pretty much just completely taken away. But he says there, in verse number 8, On that day, says the Lord, I will destroy the wise out of Edom. And it's interesting, the wise out of Edom, the wise people out of Edom. In fact, one of the wise men in Edom was one of the people that got together with Job and helped Job out. So kind of giving him counsel. And so they were known for their wiseness. Miss Patricia here, I thought she's got a good thing here. I'll put it up on here so you can read it. She says, your proud heart has deceived you, really jumped off the page to me. A timeless statement, to say the least. That's definitely true. Because it is our pride heart that does deceive us. And anytime we follow the thoughts of our mind that we're something special or we're something more important than we are, we're going to find problems for that. And so that's exactly right. And so when we look at Obadiah, and he's saying this to Edom and telling Edom, be careful what's going on here. These bad things are going to happen to you. He says, on that day, I will destroy the wise out of Edom and understanding out of Mount Esau. This is where they lived. And so when God was going to take them, he said, look, even your wisdom is not going to be a match for me. So that's what they thought, because they're so smart, so wise. They just thought they could just do whatever they wanted to do, and no one could control them. We're up in the mountains. Look how smart we are. They had all this pride, all this, abilities. And God says, I can take care of that. And then he continues on. Oh, mighty men shall be shattered, O ten men, so that everyone from Mount Esau will be cut off. And this is the ten-man place that we talked about with Job. And the city there, and so the wise man from Timan went to Job for the slaughter, verse 10, and the violence done to your brother Jacob. See, here we get into the brother Jacob, and we talked about earlier, but this is the nation of Israel as a whole. He says, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. And so basically, they were descendants of God's people, and they went off with Esau and the descendants. And they spread out, and this is where we get Edom from. But they were the same family, and so they continued to join in with other people that were against Israel, as opposed to just getting on with Israel and helping them and encouraging them. I think that's a lesson we can learn as we go forward here. Many of verse 11 says, on the day that you stood aside, on the day that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots in Jerusalem, you also were like one of them. So again, he's talking again how Babylon took over nation of Israel and really just watched as people destroyed it. Now, I want you to think about this, and this is where you can kind of log in and kind of say some comments too if you're thinking about it. Think about us in our life today, in our society today. How often do we see people that we may not like, and something bad happens to them, and we kind of like, yeah. Maybe someone who's been kind of a competitor in life, or maybe someone who's been, we struggled with our life, and someone else hurts them, and we kind of, if I can only be there and watch what their destruction, as a Christian, that's really kind of bad, because what is happening is we have that attitude. We do the same thing. Good. I'm glad you found us, Lisa. That's great. We do the same thing with believers that may not be part of our church. We don't here at Calvary. Those other people, right? But there's churches out there that segregate and separate themselves so much from other churches, and we say, they're not as good as us. They're not as good of a Christian as us. We can't be a part of them. Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can. Because as believers, we can be together and we can love each other. In fact, I was talking about Lee earlier. Lee and I and three or four, we ended up being have like maybe eight pastors, all from different denominations. We got together every week and had coffee and talked about our differences and our things we loved together and just the love to each other and pray for each other. And we still talk to each other and pray for each other. Now I've been away for a year and a half, and Lee's also been away, and some others have moved on. So we think about, we can come together and pray with each other. We can come together and encourage each other, especially as believers. Lee. No, it's not just the Baptists. It's other groups too. And thanks, Lee. But anyway, when we think about coming together and loving each other, we shouldn't be looking at other churches and other people that are struggling and saying, oh, that's what you get if you're as good of a church we are, you know. That's one of the things that we have to be careful of, is that we don't wish ill towards our enemies. We don't wish ill towards people we have a conflict with. And really, we should join forces. And we see that today, don't we? Oh, man, in America, I've seen it so much. Democrat, Republican, Independent, or whatever. They're all fighting each other. We have this little bug that's killing our nation, and they're fighting of each other. Not to get rid of the bug, but to see who wins on the end. Who's the better victor, so to speak? Who gets more votes at the end? And it's horrible. And that's not the way we should be. And that's kind of what was going on with Edom, is that they just kind of stood by and watched Israel being destroyed. And we read a little bit more of that, because in verse 12 it says, you should not have gloated on the day of your brother, on the day of his misfortune. You should not have rejoiced over the children of Judah on the day of their destruction. You should not have boasted on that day of distress. You should not have entered the gates of my people on the day of their calamity. You should not have gloated over the disaster of Judah on the day of his calamity. You should not have seized his wealth on the day of his calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads or cut off his fugitives. You should not have handed over his survivors on the day of distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon all the nations, as you have done. It shall be done to you. Your deeds shall not return to your own head. Oh, horrible what these people did. They just stood by and watched it. They helped out. They went in with them. They were laughing about it. They were mocking them. They were like, ah, look at you. See, Babylon likes us because they're with us. They're against you. Well, later on, they take over Edom too. And John's right. Let me put John coming up on here real quick. He says, we shouldn't, but we do. We get prideful. And that's exactly right. That's what's going on with Edom. They are so prideful that they think they're above it. And Babylon can't even destroy us. So we'll get on Babylon's side. They're the winning side. You ever know anybody like that? They're like, you know, I'm just going to get on whoever's winning. It's kind of like Cowboy fans. I'm a Cowboy fan my entire life. I'll always be a Cowboy fan, even when they're losing. But sometimes when they're winning, you get people jumped on them. You know, Troy Aikman era. People just jumped off being a Cowboy fan. I think that that's what we see sometimes in our own Christian world, in our own life, is that people kind of jump on the bandwagon whoever's winning. So as he says here, for you have, verses number 16, for you have drunk my holy mouth, and all the nations shall drink continually. So he's saying, look, you have been there. You have been part of my blessings. You have been part of my leading as a people. But on Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and it shall be holy. And the house of Jacob shall possess those who dispose, possess them. We really do, there is a kind of a coming around, so to speak, with Edom, and God is going to take care of the nation of Israel. Now, sadly, some people kind of continue to think about America as equal to Israel. We don't have those same blessings that Israel has or had. It's not like God's up there going, America, they're a great Christian country, so I'm going to bless them like Israel. Like, there's no promise that in the Bible. But principles we can see in our own personal life, that if we allow, our pride to destroy us as we help the enemy, so to speak, destroy other brothers and sisters. You ever see someone who's a Christian who falls and has struggles and really has some problems on there? Yeah, so that those people like that, they're down on the ground, and we're like, you know, yeah, let's kick them even further. No. We should be rejoicing in their problems. We shouldn't be having those difficulties. If you guys are see anything else in here that you, as you're reading along, that jumps out at you, Ms. Patricia has put a few things on here, some others, John. But if you see something jumping out at you, type it in here. Let us know what you're seeing here, or maybe something, because this is what just jumps out at me when I'm talking about it. And I hope that it's encouraging to you as well. But if you see something, go ahead and put it up here and let us see. But anyway, so we continue on in looking at it. He says in verse 18, the house of Jacob shall be a fire, the house of Joseph a flame, the house of Esau stubble. They shall burn them and consume them, and there shall be no survivors from the house of Esau. The Lord has spoken. Wow. And that's pretty condemning that they stood by and watched. They encouraged, they helped Babylon destroy Israel. And you go back and look at history, it's happened over and over and over again in the nation of Israel. And they're going to be like a fire. They're going to consume them. They're stubble. They're going to get burned up. In the hay fields up there in Kansas, we would see that where they would come along and burn the fields. All the stubble that's there, they would just burn them all. And that's what it's going to be like there at the day of the Lord in this judgment time that happened. So those of the Negev shall possess Mount Esau. Those of the Shephelah, however you pronounce it, the land of Philistines, they shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. And Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the exiles of his armies and the sons of Israel shall inherit the land of the Canaanites as far as Zarephath. And the exiles of Jerusalem, the Shepharad, shall inherit the cities of Negev. Survivors shall go up to Mount Zion to rule Mount Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. So as we understand this, a lot of, if you go back and look at Jeremiah, you'll see some of the same statements in Jeremiah that you see here in Obadiah. He says these, as he's listing off these names here, he's basically saying, all your land that you have, I'm going to give to someone else. And those people that are fighting against the nation of Israel, they're going to be gone. And I'm going to give those who are friends of Israel some land. John popped on here. This reminds me of the Good Samaritan story. Most definitely. In fact, John, that's great because if you read some commentaries, there's some liking to this of that Esau and Edom and Babylon were like the priests that walked around the Samaritan. So good call on that one, John. Good job. Daggy said, we don't want to bend under God's wrath. No, we definitely don't. And fortunately, we have Christ who took away the wrath of God. But there's still an aspect of that when we, though we're in, as Christians, we're still believers, and we walk away from what God is directing us, there will be some consequences. Not necessarily God's wrath on it, but it could be some natural consequences sometimes that happens. And the enemies of God can be used by Satan to hurt us and destroy us, especially when we're walking alone in the desert, so to speak. And so definitely so. Jay's popped on here. Jay's got, he says, pride and revenge can be stopped cold by praying for enemies and persecutors, even perceived ones. So true. And it's sometimes when we're struggling and people are hurting us, sometimes it's best just to stop and pray for them and to ask God to love our enemies and God to bless our enemies, because all of a sudden now they're not our enemies anymore. Now we're praying for them. And so that's definitely true. The Bible talks about heaping coals of joy on them, you know, like, you know, here's some good things. We love you, even though you're our enemy. So we see this in Edom. So this whole book here is, in Obadiah is dealing with this story of Edom and their life and what they thought they could get away with the descendants of Esau. And so knowing the history behind it helps us kind of understand a little bit about what it is. So anybody else jump on here and put anything else. If you've read anything as you read through it, something else jumped out at you. I'm going to go back to the notes real quick and see if I miss anyone. Miss PQ's up here. She says, your dealings will come back on you on your own head. Ouch. The way we, cities like, ouch is right. Sometimes when we are struggling and we see the way we handle other people and the way we do things wrong to them, a lot of times it comes back to us, because the way we treat others, a lot of times will affect the way they treat us back or the way we're treated back to us. So if you have any other comments or thoughts, go ahead and put them on here. Even after we get off live here, you'll still be able to comment and talk to each other if you want to. So I've really enjoyed this, and I think that I want to keep it right in the 30-45 minutes or so range, and we'll do this next week. If you have some thoughts about a book you want to look at, we can do an entire book if it's small, like Obadiah, or maybe a chapter or maybe a story of the Bible, shoot me a message on there, and I'd love to private message me, and I'd love to just look at it and see what things are out there, and we can kind of get some ideas and maybe do it for next week. So, you know, this separation we're going to be going on, we just saw now that it's the end of April, easy, in the 1st of May. I think the schools in Texas aren't going to start until 1st of May, and that's just a minimum. So we got another month. Today's April 1st. We got a whole another month of dealing with this, and it's going to be a long time. So we got some things we want to do, these type of situations, phone calls, texts, you know, waving each other as we go by, a honk or whatever. Just stay separated if you need to. Don't go to the store if you don't need to. We've got some people that go to the store for you, and we can encourage you with that. But we're going to keep doing what we're doing here, and as well as at 10:30 on Sunday mornings, the live broadcast or service there. Watch the videos I'm putting out there. Worship videos, turn them up, worship with them, especially right before the service starts. It's going to get you kind of excited about talking to each other. As we go through this process, we need to worship God together as much as we can. When I think about worship, sometimes it's difficult. I've seen some people open up their doors and start worshiping on the front porch and see some videos of that going on. If that's what we need to do, that'd be great. I'm not sure what Resurrection Sunday is going to look like yet. I'm still trying to get some feelers out there. I would love to kind of have a drive-in church service, but they've discouraged that as well. So I don't want to do anything that would get us in trouble. Two pastors have got arrested for one in Louisiana and one in Florida for not following the rules, and we don't want to be that. But same time, I want us to be connected as much as possible. So be looking out for that, and hopefully we can have something come up for Resurrection Sunday. If not, we'll probably have an extended online service, just to have a little bit of fun. But keep posted on that. Thank you all so much for joining in, getting on with us, and just keep continuing to connect as best we can. Make sure you call people. There's people out there that would love to chat your ears off, so let's keep doing that and keep doing this. If we need to do another one or two of these during the week just to stay connected, maybe just to say hey and talk to each other, I'll be glad to do that. If you have any ideas, let me know. Love you, church. I really do. And y'all have a great day. Bye.